Thursday, September 21st. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show presented by NerdWallet. It's a hell of a day to talk ball, man. And joining me to do just that, because it's Thursday, it's Stat Nerd Thursday. That means it's Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. I'm heading to the Niner Giants game tonight. Looking forward to that. Ooh. And as always, looking forward to talking some ball with you.
Hell yeah, man. That's exciting. Well, we're going to preview that game. So we'll be able to get Dalton's thoughts on what he's going to see live at the end of the podcast. But you know what we do here on Stat Nerd Thursday. We give you one stat that you need to know for all 32 teams. But before we get into that, one quick piece of news to hit. The Browns on Wednesday signed running back Kareem Hunt to a one-year up to the phrase of the offseason makes itself into the regular season here, up to $4 million contract. Dalton, obviously we know Kareem Hunt has played with the Browns before. They went a long time without signing him or even considering signing him, but they obviously do this in the wake of the fact that Nick Chubb is going to miss the entire season. So we'll talk Browns obviously when we get to their section here, and we're mostly going to talk about the pass game. So just with this running back rotation, what are your expectations now between Hunt, Ford, and obviously Pierre Strong is there as well too?
Jerome Ford's the guy to get for me. He's coming off a very strong final season in college. Could have gone much earlier in the draft. Kareem Hunt did not look great last year. Obviously, so many teams have passed on him so far this season as well. That said, if you spend a good chunk of your fab on him last night, or you top waiver wire on the Tuesday night deadline in Yahoo, two nights ago, you don't feel great waking up and seeing Kareem Hunt sign immediately, because he will be involved probably a lot on passing downs. So Ford is the guy, and this week immediately, seemingly, whoever loses their star running back faces the Titans run defense the next week. So it's not a great matchup for now, but I still would be fairly excited if I had Jerome Ford on my fantasy team after the unfortunate injury to Nick Chubb. But that said, if you're in deeper leagues and you're desperate for running back, which many people are, including some of my teams, Kareem Hunt is worth a bid or an ad as well, just to see what happens, because obviously this Browns team has possibly one of the three best defenses in the league.
Right. They're going to be in a lot of really nice game scripts. That's a great point. And they've shown immense faith in Jerome Ford, like all offseason. You know, despite the fact that he missed time in the offseason with a hamstring injury, they basically all their other backup running backs. They did like a late pick swap for Pierre Strong, who flamed out after being a fourth round pick with the Patriots. And they never really entertained signing Kareem Hunt back until now. Obviously, they're down one of the best backs in football. So they've shown a lot of faith in Jerome Ford to be that guy there. They just clearly needed depth, because as much as Pierre Strong pumped in a touchdown after that long run that Jerome Ford had on Monday night, but he's barely been with the team. Like, you know, if they need a counterpunch to Jerome Ford, like Kareem Hunt's probably going to be a better option there. So, you know, I tweeted this like right after the signing. The sooner that you can accept that no human running back is just going to own all of the backfield work to themselves, the sooner you will achieve inner peace as a fantasy player. I love people, by the way, responding to that with, what about CMC? CMC, Derrick Henry. I'm like, well, the implication there is that, like, how dare you compare CMC and Derrick Henry to mere mortals? Not anybody else, basically nobody else does that, right? So Jerome Ford is always going to have somebody else in the backfield here. It's going to be Kareem Hunt, but I'm with you. I still think, like, what? Jerome Ford is probably, to me, like an upside running back too, every single week now going forward.
Yeah, there are always outliers. And by the way, Elijah Mitchell, I expect to get plenty of work Thursday night in the short week. Shanahan's already said he made a mistake involved. But I'm with you, Jerome Ford, RB2 with upside to be a top 12 type fantasy back out of nowhere, like the Kyren Williams is this season, because he's in a decent situation, although Deshaun Watson obviously remains a problem. But I think he can emerge and be that, you know, 65% work out of this backfield, and that'll be enough for him to be a borderline top 15 if he can stay healthy. I think that's reasonable. So easy floor, RB2s is floor.
Yeah, I just want to say to the people that spent like, you know, 80, 90, 100% of their free agent budget on Jerome Ford, it's okay. All right. You did the right thing, because number one, you didn't know that Kareem Hunt was going to sign. But also number two, like, even if Kareem Hunt is there, yo, you're not going to find like another guy that Dalton's probably going to say has like top 15 upside off the waiver wire. So like difference makers just don't come around very often on the wire like this. So you did the right thing. I'm telling you that if you're listening to this podcast, you did the right thing. Don't feel bad about yourself.
And don't panic if he doesn't have a great week this week. I mean, the Titans are a pass funnel defense after dominating last year. So far this year against backs, they're allowing 49 yards per game on 18.5 carries. So it's just a horrible matchup this week, but it could be nice for Ford moving forward.
Yeah, that's also notable, by the way, for Josh Kelly, if he has to start again in replacement of Austin Eckler against a defense in Minnesota that's gotten barreled over by the run. But we'll talk about those teams actually very quickly here, because it's on to Stat Nerd Thursday. And again, you know what we do here. We give you one stat you need to know for all 32 teams. And we go in order of the projected 2024 NFL draft order, courtesy of Tankathon. And we also skip the Thursday night preview teams because we're going to do those at the end. So starting off, if we were drafting today, the number one overall pick would be the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos. They're our first team we're talking about here. A couple stats for them. One, Marvin Mims is eighth on the team in routes run this season, but leads the team with 122 receiving yards. Also, just one for the road, the Broncos lead the NFL in penalties, which I think is funny considering that the current head coach of the Denver Broncos said in the preseason that the previous head coach of the Denver Broncos had the worst coaching job in NFL history. And I would say, like, if your team leads the NFL in penalties, there's a little bit of a disconnect there in terms of how well you're coaching the team. So Dalton, I don't know, man, we can take this Broncos discussion anywhere, but I still think this is, I don't know, one of the weirdest teams in the NFL trying to figure out the distribution in the backfield and in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, a lot going on here, blowing a big lead last week. Sean Payton is probably not super thrilled with Russell Wilson's performance so far. It's saying that they're going to tone down the verbiage, maybe go to a wristband, which I know Russell Wilson has been reluctant to do. And don't forget that looking at his fantasy stats and his YPA, that he completed a Hail Mary at the end of last week's game. Yeah. And that's going to really, the numbers will be lying there. Marvin Mims, Scott Barrett tweeted, most receiving yards by a high school player in 2019, the most yards per target in college history in 2021, and he currently leads the NFL in yards per route run. And he just had some I think is the most yards ever by Texas in high school too. So just a dominant guy who needs to get the football in his hands more. The routes runs are silly low. Obviously he can be productive and big time productive. And let's see, I'm out on Courtland Sutton. So let's see Marvin Mims get on the football field more moving forward.
I'm with you. Like he can at least play. He's probably not going to displace like a Courtland Sutton at this point or Jerry Jeudy, but we can certainly get like Saints cronies like little Jordan Humphrey or, you know, Johnson scored the touchdown on the Hail Mary. But still, like, we could probably get a little more Marvin Mims and get those guys maybe, as to the fourth or fifth wide receiver or whatever. So I'm with you that I'd like to see a little more from Marvin Mims. But overall, just don't like what I've seen out of the Broncos. Of course, man. This team. Anyways, number two, Chicago Bears. Justin Fields is averaging 2.5 designed runs per game this season compared to 6.3 last year. Meanwhile, though, he does have 8 carries, 61 yards, and a touchdown as a scrambler. Dalton, nothing has gone right for the Chicago Bears so far this year. The lack of designed runs has obviously been a talking point among people, but I always bring this up. Like, I don't think that Fields or the Bears want him to just get battered like he did last year on some of these designed runs. But I don't know, you were big on Justin Fields coming into the year, man. Where do you stand right now?
Yeah, obviously not great, Bob, but the design runs are a big part of his fantasy game. I mean, I kept saying, I don't think he's some great passer. This is not Jalen Hurts going to make the development, but I expected some modicum of growth adding DJ Moore. And I just loved his rushing ability, something that typically an NFL quarterback's not going to be able to do for more than 2 to 3 years. And I just thought this was the peak of that. And they've taken away that part of his game. So luckily he has added a bit still, despite the lack of design runs with his legs, 59, I think, yards. It's week one, a TD run, but this needs to change. I mean, all the QB school, JT Sullivan's was an hour and a half. It was an hour and a half long, his review of the Bears film. They have receivers running the same routes together and also Fields missing players wide open down the field as well. It's a great combo there of coaching and QB performance. He just continues to take too many sacks. It's crushing for the offense. And, oh, by the way, their defense is historically bad so far, too. So it's a bad setup, but fantasy-wise, we all just got to hope he starts running again. And you got to think the coaching will take in all this criticism. Didn't it take until week six last season too? Yep. So I expect there to be a big, big turnaround, at least in fundamental game plans for Fields.
Hey, Justin Fields against the Chiefs this week. Where are you ranking him? Like, I have him like right at the bottom of my QB1 rankings. Like, there are definitely, I don't know, you can just pluck somebody off the waiver wire to start ahead of Justin Fields, but that was a great defensive performance by the Chiefs with Chris Jones in the first game back. Makes me a little nervous about Fields.
That was awesome. He's my QB9, which looks like he's right at the expert consensus rank, so I don't have a strong take there. It looks like you're a little more down on, which I can understand. I mean, the Chiefs are 13-point home favorites. That defense has looked awesome, especially with Chris Jones back. They looks like they've made some huge draft pick hits, too, on defense. The KC defense could really, it might actually hurt their offense as far in fantasy land. They're running fewer plays for the first two games. I do expect a big bounce back from that offense, but the defense could be for real.
All right, number three here, Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers ranked dead last in the EPA allowed on defense. You know, I think we've seen two versions of the Chargers so far through the first 2 weeks, and honestly, a lot of it could be matchup dictated here. Number one, in week one, the Chargers come out and they run all over the Miami Dolphins, who are playing a lot of those two high shells with Vic Fangio and the boys there on defense. Week two, against the great Titans front that you talked about earlier, they come out and they're kind of pushing the ball vertically a little bit. The constant theme here, though, is that the Chargers defense, I think, is terrible. I think that Brandon Staley's not doing a great job over there. And I think some of the players, I think, feel this way about some of the offensive players as well. But definitely the guys on defense, I think, are more name than game at this point, at all levels of the defense. I think this defensive performance is going to stick throughout the year, which means that, you know, I think that the Chargers are going to be playing more games like they did against the Titans, where they're pushing the ball a little bit. So I don't know. I think we kind of understand who the Chargers are a little bit through 2 weeks.
Props to Kellen Moore for being so, you know, maneuverable with his game plan. It's totally different. And obviously Austin Eckler may being out of the lineup might have affected that. It certainly affected Justin Herbert's ADOT. Josh Kelly, it shouldn't have been a surprise that he was stuffed against the run last week, but I personally expected a few more targets. I know he couldn't just replace Eckler there, but that's what really killed his fantasy value last week. I expect both running backs to bounce back after disappointments in this matchup with the highest total of the week, Kelly and Madison, as you pointed out, Chargers vulnerable on defense. But I expect Big Mike Williams, after 13 targets, running the slot more, to possibly have a big game in this shootout.
Yep, I like that prediction. I also like the prediction that Colin, producer Colin, put in the chat. He said, bold prediction, Kellen Moore's the head coach of this team by Thanksgiving. I think that's very possible. Like, first coach to be fired, I don't know what the odds are, but I would say Brandon Staley has a pretty hot seat right now. They barely brought him back. They made him, you know, get rid of his offensive coordinator buddy in Joe Lombardi last year. I know they were excited to bring in Kellen Moore. I do think Kellen Moore has a bright future potentially as a head coach. And if you're the Chargers, you know, Brandon Staley's up at the press conference like, nope, Jacksonville, nope, not the Jacksonville loss. We're not thinking about the Jacksonville loss. Once you start seeing that from head coaches, you're starting to sort of get into dead man walking territory. So I don't know. I wouldn't rule that out either. I don't know what that does to, like, I mean, it's not going to make the defense any better. I don't know what it would do to the offense, but I do think that is live, that prediction.
Did you see in overtime last week? It was 3rd and 2. The Titans had the ball and Henry was out of the game and Staley called a timeout. And then they brought Henry back in to get the first down and then go on to win it. That wasn't a great moment either.
No, a lot of not great moments there for Brandon Staley and the Chargers. All right, just a quick heads up on this next section. We taped this podcast prior to the news that Cam Akers was being traded to the Minnesota Vikings. So when you hear us talk about Alexander Mattison and not mention Cam Akers, that is why. I'll just say real quick here, quick take on the whole thing. This is a 2026 late round pick swap, which might be the most small potatoes, literally nothing draft compensation I've ever seen in a trade. I mean, 2026, what are we all even going to be doing in 2026? Give me a break. This is a system familiarity thing. Kevin O'Connell, Wes Phillips, they have worked with Cam Akers before, so they're taking him off Sean McVay's hands there, their old buddies with the LA Rams. Overall, I think it's going to be a minute until Akers has an impact. Definitely won't be this week, I'd guess. Might not be for a few weeks. And even then, is he going to be a guy that takes Alexander Mattison's job? That might be a little ways away, considering they haven't gotten anything out of their backup running back position. So just a quick take on the Akers thing. I don't think it's a big win for Akers. I don't think it's a big win for anybody in this situation, but that's why we are not going to mention Cam Akers here in the next section. All right. Speaking of the Vikings, who are going to play the Chargers this week, they're our next team up, number four, Minnesota Vikings. Alexander Mattison is averaging 3.3 yards per touch. Meanwhile, there's only 7 targets slash rush attempts for Ty Chandler, the running back two here. Look, I know Mattison, it's been a brutal run out the first 2 weeks, but is he not in a really nice position here to also, just like Josh Kelly, potentially have a bounce back game here in week three against the Chargers defense that I just mentioned can't do anything right?
Yes, he absolutely will bounce back. I ranked him a little bit higher than ECR this week, a top 20, probably maybe top 15 back for me this week. That said, I would like to just say how wrong I was on Kirk Cousins ranking him too low in fantasy this year, saying there's no upside because he doesn't run. The loss of Dalvin Cook in this Mattison situation has resulted in even more volume for Cousins, who has bounced back in efficiency in YPA too. Only the Chiefs and Dolphins have a higher pass rate over expectation so far than the Vikings, and they were one of the top teams last year too. So I was wrong. Cousins is, yes, he's the schedule has helped, but he's putting up the fantasy stats and he looks like he's going to be a top 12-ish type fantasy QB this year. Again, not top three upside because he doesn't run, but I was wrong. The pass rate is just, they throw the ball simply more than most teams in football.
I was talking about this with one of my friends over the weekend. I think that like Mattison is kind of a weird fit for that type of offense because he's like a big bruising back that you give like a bunch of volume to, but they're not playing that way at all. Like maybe at some point they do. Maybe it's this week against the Chargers, but he's like kind of a weird fit for that type of offense.
But by the way, Ty Chandler is not seeing the field at all. That's the thing here. That's encouraging for Mattison. Despite his lack of fantasy points scored, Ty Chandler has not been a thing. And this week, I just want to add for Cousins, the Chargers are allowing an NFL high 9.6 YPA and the most fantasy points to quarterback. So this should be a fun one with a lot of scoring all around.
All right, next one up here, number 5, Houston Texans. The passing game has been a nice, pleasant surprise here, but Damian Pierce, not so much. Pierce, we know the offensive line struggles have been a thing. They've been super banged up there. But Pierce has played on fewer than 50% of the snaps and run just 29.9% of the routes so far. Maybe some of that is game script. You know, he's like Devin Singletary playing in 2-minute drills, passing down, stuff like that. But it's still a pretty, even though like the offensive line probably can get healthy and they'll run the ball better, I do think the role for Damian Pierce has been, like, preseason kind of fooled us on this one, I think.
Yeah, it really did. And at the very end, they suggested it could be more of a committee. We're like, what? That hasn't been the usage throughout the preseason at all. I love Damian Pierce, the player, but you just can't argue with how he's used. And it's just a problem. Mike Boone saw a lot of the routes in week one. And game script is going to continue to be a problem for this young team. The offensive line has contributed, but Pierce, I believe, also has like averaging zero yards before contact. Future looks bright here if you're a Texans fan, though. I mean, CJ Stroud makes the S2 test so far. Criticism looked quite silly. Their pass rate's over expectation, too. They're in a neutral pass rate so far. They are sixth in the league. I mean, that's impressive for a rookie making his first two starts. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, they both look great. And here's one thing to note. In the fantasy playoffs, the Texans face the pass funnel Titans twice. So
Ooh, bad
news for Damian Pierce. Great news for Stroud, Dell, Nico, and possibly Mechie.
Oh, dude. Number one, you're getting me hyped about my guy, Nico, and Tank Dell, who looks awesome, understandably so.
He does. He's a
really, really, really good player in college. Number two, I like Dalton versus the S2 test is my favorite rivalry so far in the NFL. Like, forget Steelers, Browns, forget Chiefs, Bengals. Dalton versus the S2 test. That's the hottest rivalry in the NFL right now.
Hey, I just pointed out, you know, the Purdy connection there, that he was the one that failed here. And I'm just curious what it looked going forward. It's not an intelligence test. It's just like, you know, it's a reaction test, but it clearly looks like it should be something to be ignored after watching the first two NFL games of CJ Stroud.
I just think you brought it up on the last two episodes, and I think you should probably bring it up every episode. I'm down.
Oh, is there, all right. Okay. I probably will.
Yeah, good. But, screw the S2
no,
test.
I won't anymore. No, it's, I'm over. I'm over.
No, do it.
Well, okay, just to keep to saying how bad it looks. But Tank Dell had a touchdown, also called a second touchdown called back last week. He looks awesome. Nico Collins, I told you last week, top 25 for me, and then I was a coward and didn't use him enough in DFS. He looks like a monster moving forward. If they continue this pass rate and continue falling behind and just throwing like crazy, I mean, can they upset Jacksonville this week? I mean, they're a survivor option. They're a plucky team there right now with how Stroud's looking.
Yeah, Nico Collins looked awesome.
So good. Alpha.
Awesome, yeah. Against the Colts. Yeah, he's so... I've been like trying to get Nico Collins to happen for like 2 years, and it's finally happening, which is great. Okay, next team up here. I mentioned the Bengals. They're number six. Simply, the stat is Joe Burrow ranks 32nd in passing success rate right now. Yikes, Dalton. And I'm not so sure when and if this is going to get better, because... like, he's not going to get health. This calf is not going to get healthier. He's not going to get better by playing. He's going to have to sit 2, 3, 4 weeks. I'd be prepared if you have Joe Burrow, like, find an alternative because they play on Monday night. I don't know, man. I think the only way that this situation is going to get better is by him not playing. And that means that T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase will be catching passes from Jake Browning.
Okay, one thing to be noted, that the Bengals have had an incredibly tough schedule to open up. They face that Browns defense. Jim Schwartz has second in the league in EPA per play behind only Dallas. And then they face the Ravens defense that has been the best in EPA per play since trading for Roquan Smith last year. So it's been a tough schedule. But they've even come out and admitted that the playbook, they scaled back for Joe Burrow, even, you know, while he was playing, it was clearly he was not 100%. He's bottom five in average depth of target. And now the reports are his status is very much up in the air for Monday night. Their backup is 27-year-old Jake Browning, who has one career NFL pass. This is scary. So we saw T. Higgins regress last week, and you can fully expect that for Ja'Marr Chase, too. But that's with the big if Joe Burrow is up for the task. So the fact it's also Monday night makes it tricky for fantasy managers. So it's a not great situation. I personally underrated the injury, saying that the Bengals are going to go to the Super Bowl, picking Burrow to do well, the MVP. I just totally blew that. He clearly is compromised from the very beginning, and this is going to be a lingering issue that's going to last throughout the season, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel as well. Number seven, New England Patriots. Mac Jones has thrown to his first read, according to Fantasy Points data, on 79.2% of his passes. That's second most in the NFL. Tua is first, actually, in this stat. Unsurprising, but there's a little bit of difference in the wide receiver quality here, Dalton. The Patriots passing game is interesting just because they've dropped back a ton. They're playing really fast, but they're playing really fast to go like 7 yards because they don't have any difference makers. And that really... I don't know, man. This offense should be very viable for fantasy because of the way they're playing right now. I like a lot of what Bill O'Brien's doing, but it's tough for me to find somebody to get excited about.
Yeah, Mac Jones on his attempts, 20 yards down the field. I think he's 1 for 12 this year. Hasn't been super pretty, but at least the new offensive coordinator has them competent. I mean, Devontae Parker immediately led the team in snaps and saw targets, while Kendrick Bourne racked up a bunch of air yards last week, too. So there's like people, the receivers that are actually on the fantasy radar, at least this season. And Hunter Henry's like kind of a locked in top 12, if not That's top true, 10 yeah. fantasy tight end, too. So it's really coming off last year. We're going in the right direction here. But they did benefit from playing an Eagles team that produces a ton of pass attempts and a lot of plays. But still, I think we're moving in the right direction if it's still attempting to get to league average. But
yeah, fair enough. All right, number eight here, Arizona Cardinals. Josh Dobbs, just want to note, 6.4% completion rate over expected, ranks sixth best in the NFL, according to Next Gen Stats. The Cardinals took a lot of crap for like cutting Colt McCoy and then trading for Josh Dobbs and making him the starter right away. But, you know, on a Josh Dobbs adjusted scale, I think he's played fine so far. Like he's been fine. And I think that does make Marquise Brown viable. I think as long as James Conner's healthy, he's going to be like a guy you're probably playing every week. And you know, Michael Wilson, maybe he'll pop up here and there. But I mean, those two guys, that's about it. Like, you know, Brown and Conner. But I don't know. It's at least encouraging to see Dobbs being viable so far.
As someone who's gone against the Cardinals in a couple of my big survivor entries this season, up to $9 million this year, the Cardinals have played total respectable football. They have not been some doormat. Dobbs maybe arguably the play of the week in week two when he trucked the guy at the goal line after a nice 20-yard touchdown run. You said the completion percentage over expectations impressive. So they're trying hard. They're being competitive. Zach Ertz is seeing all the targets. I believe he's lapping the field in target share among all tight ends, although the fantasy points haven't quite been there. But yes, Josh Dobbs playing better than everyone expected. But then this team, again, has another horribly tough matchup against the Cowboys this week.
Yeah, it doesn't matter this week. I'm just saying going forward, like, I think Dobbs has shown he's been viable. Probably not going to be viable against the Cowboys, who destroy everybody.
Marquise Brown, yes, you can use him as a wide receiver 3, which at first we were kind of worried about. Yes, I agree.
All right, number 9, Carolina Panthers. Oh, my God. Carolina Panthers ranked dead last in the NFL with 3.5 net yards per attempt. We also have a couple of follow-up ones. I put this tweet in from Connor Allen. The good news for Bryce Young, he is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL when he throws to open wideouts. And then the bad news, though, he is throwing to them at the second lowest rate right now is Bryce Young. You also noted, too, that PPR fantasy points wise, like, Chuba Hubbard's actually right there within 1 point of Miles Sanders. Dude, I'm not saying, like, I'm worried about Bryce Young, but I'm worried about how things look and feel right now in Carolina.
Yes, that was a subtweet just to, I wasn't going to do your voice, but that is Hubbard getting nearly the same amount of PPR points as your Miles Sanders, as our great debate continues here.
Oh, my God. Also, yeah. The Panthers are going to be in garbage time a ton, but, like, that's basically when Chuba Hubbard's out there getting, like,
it was all that. Yeah,
meaningless little checkdowns.
Yeah. I don't think Miles Sanders' receiving production looks too great if you look under the hood, though, last I checked. But Bryce Young, they also came out and said today that they can't do QB sneaks because he's too small, has never done it, but it's only 2 games. But yes, if you were a Houston fan or a Carolina fan, you're a little bit more pumped about Stroud than you are Young so far with our sample. And yeah, the right
on the injury
Carolina,
report than ankle too on the injury report than ankle today, not practicing, is Bryce Young.
Carolina's a team right now you can target for opposing fantasy defenses if you're looking for pickups, like Seattle. I added in a few teams last night, Tuesday night.
Look, I'm not saying that Bryce Young's a bust or anything like that, right? It's 2 games. But yeah, if I was a Carolina fan, which I am not.
You're discouraged, I could see.
Yeah, it's just the way things have looked for Anthony Richardson, who obviously is in concussion protocol and stuff like that. The way CJ Stroud has looked so in command, you know, and this is something that does grind my gears a little bit. You know, all the national media like this year is like, oh, CJ Stroud, who's he got to play with? Well, you know what? Like, watch Nico Collins play, number one. None of you actually that said this watched Nico Collins play. I know you didn't. You know, and Robert Woods is, like, a viable player, and he's probably better than Adam Thielen at this point. And then, like, Tank Dell's an exciting young rookie. It's just the Panthers just have nothing going on at all. So, I don't know, man. I just think, and by the way, he's got no pass protection. He's getting sacked a ton back there too, is Bryce Young. Like, I'm just worried that the dude's not going to develop in a situation like this.
It's just 2 games, but yeah, Mingo at least are getting some targets, but it's possible that Thielen looks a little dusty, and it's and he's saddled with some you know, poor receiving backs too to check down to, it hasn't been a great start to the career, but obviously, tiny sample.
Very tiny sample. Hope it can get going for Bryce Young, because he does have some moments where he looks like he could be fun. All right, number 10, Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders rank dead last in plays run this season. I know people are concerned about Josh Jacobs. I know they're going to play slow. They're not going to run a ton of plays anyways, but it's just been a weird start to the year for the Raiders. You know, both their starting receivers have missed time. Like, I think it'll be fine for Vegas and for Vegas in the long term. And I think, by the way, like, Jimmy Garoppolo's looked pretty decent this year.
He has, and hopefully the key here is Jacoby Myers' health. Will there be more targets for Devontae Adams this week? Can you put Myers back in your fantasy lineups as a flex? Because it does look like they're going to be very concentrated, those targets. But I expected Josh Jacobs to get positive yardage last week against that Bills defense. It certainly came to life and just totally stuffed the run.
Yeah, they definitely did. I'm sure he'll get positive yardage this week. I feel pretty good about that. Something I don't feel good about: our number 11 team, the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson ranks dead last with a 64.6% adjusted completion rate, according to Fantasy Points data. Oh my God, Dalton. I'm so discouraged. I know the Steelers defense is really good, but Watson just looks like a mess, bro. His pocket presence is terrible. He seems to have no, like, feel for the game. That's the thing that's weird with him, is he feels like he has no feel for the game. He's not, like, throwing catchable balls. And, like, guys are open, too. Like, Elijah Moore is open. Amari Cooper is open. I don't know, man. I'm the thing that part of Part of me wants to think that this passing game can bounce back against the Titans, who I'll just loop my Titans stat in here. Tennessee Titans, 10.9 ADOT allowed is the most in the league, and they have the lowest hurry rate in the league at 2.4%. Like we've already mentioned, the Titans are a total pass funnel. I want to think that this team can get going, and maybe they will, right? Like maybe Elijah Moore is a bounce back. Maybe Amari Cooper is like a smash wide receiver one start, and maybe Deshaun Watson even gets going, but it just looks so, so rough right now. And again, part of the thesis of what's going to happen now without Nick Chubb is that they transition to more of like a Watson-centric offense. I think that they always, which is so weird that like, well, actually our offense is completely built around a running back when we paid all this money to our quarterback and blah, 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 all that stuff. I don't know, man. I'm talking in circles now because I feel just so bad about that. I just don't feel so good. I feel so, so bad about this situation right now.
Yeah, the Browns offense has been bad and they just lost their best player. It sucks. Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore, I think you can use in fantasy this week. Cooper at home, he surprisingly played Monday night and looked good to go in this great matchup against the Titans. So I think Elijah Moore, who was so close to a few catches on the sideline there. So, but otherwise, with Deshaun Watson, it has been very discouraging. When not facing pressure this season, he's been bottom three in accuracy, right there with Kenny Pickett. And obviously, we saw him last year really struggle after the time off. So, is it time to panic? I'd say yeah, because they had a whole offseason together. And the fact that through two games, Watson looks as bad as last year, if not worse, it's just not good. So I don't know. My guy DTR, I have stashed in dynasty leagues, and we'll see where that goes. But truthfully, it's Deshaun Watson looks bad playing quarterback position right now. Fantasy wise, he still shows like he can run, and he'll put up some points in better matchups. But it's been a discouraging start, man. He looks very inaccurate.
He just has like no feel as a runner either. You know, he's like face masking guys and all this. Like
twice, yeah,
twice, yeah. It's bizarre. It's really bizarre. If he's never able to come back, right? Like come back from a situation that he created. So I'm come back, like come back is in quotes here. If you're listening to the podcast, if he's just never able to come back from this situation and be like the guy he was before, because of just like part of it mentally, I would be 0% surprised. Like at this point, I'd be stunned if he ever gets close, honestly. Number 12, Detroit Lions. This one comes in from Adam Levitan. David Montgomery left near the end of the third quarter on Sunday. Running back opportunities after that. Jahmyr Gibbs, 8. 3 carries, 5 targets. Craig Reynolds, 4. 3 carries, 1 target. Dalton, what's your expectations for the Lions running backs without David Montgomery, who might miss a couple weeks here?
Okay, so Craig Reynolds is absolutely going to annoy fantasy managers and get the goal line carries. And maybe, I don't know how it's going to be split up exactly, but more than Gibbs' guys will want. That said, Gibbs did get more opportunities last week. They're trusting him more. And not only is David Montgomery down, but Amon-Ra St. Brown, I don't know what he's dealing with. Is it turf toe? Out of practice Wednesday. His status is highly questionable. They might just be forced to give it the Gibbs and Laporta show. Jared Goff averaging 2.6 touchdown passes at home since last season. Just a monster in Detroit. So it's hard not to rank Gibbs as a top 12 fantasy running back for me this week.
Yep. I mean, I get it, dude. It hasn't been great. You know, Dan Campbell like blamed Jahmyr Gibbs for the interception that Jared Goff threw. I don't think they fully trust him yet, but which is understandable. He's a rookie in his third game. It's not a big deal if they trust a guy like Reynolds. But I'm with you that if the Amon-Ra St. Brown part of it plus the David Montgomery part of it does make me think that this could be the week that Jahmyr Gibbs gets going.
Watch Zonovan Knight lead the team in carries.
I mean, yeah, they just signed him. So that is actually, that would be pretty funny. All right, next team up here, Indianapolis Colts. Zach Moss throwing the middle finger at what I said earlier about backs, you know, not dominating 100% of the workload. He played 98.2% of the snaps and ran a route on 77% of the dropbacks. I had to play Zach Moss in like a couple weeks and I picked him up as like an early stash type of guy. I don't know, man. I think, you know, look, Jonathan Taylor might come back to this team in week 5, but before that, like, Zach Moss is what, you know, top 15 ish running back with the way that his offense is playing right now and the amount that the coaching staff trusts him.
Yeah, opposite matchup of last week, but yes, I still have him ranked as a borderline top 20 this week, even as, you know, big underdogs on the road against the Baltimore defense playing arguably the best in football. But if you're getting that type of usage, You got, yes, Zach Moss looks 100% startable in all formats and fantasy leagues, if and when, until Jonathan Taylor returns, which is obviously a huge question mark at this point.
All right, next team up here, number 14, Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence ranks 31st in EPA per dropback, but third in accuracy rate. What's the disconnect here? Because I think Trevor Lawrence has actually been playing fine so far this year, but the Jaguars passing offense hasn't quite fired on all cylinders. You know, a lot of Jaguars fans are, and I think this is worth noting, they're pointing this out, that like Press Taylor has been calling plays and Doug Peterson has not been. And Doug has kind of done this before where he's trying to make things happen with Press Taylor. He's trying to like get him some more opportunities and stuff. But again, so far, it seems like it's not really working.
Yeah, a lot to say here. I wrote about this offense in my numbers do lie column this week. First of all, there was 100 plus people were treated for heat related illnesses in that Florida weather. ETN sat out the fourth with cramping. The Chiefs offense struggled in the conditions. Moreover, Trevor Lawrence four separate times nearly had touchdown passes to his receivers that were just incredibly close, just barely out of the end zone or the goalpost, knocking Calvin Ridley down. Lawrence was 0-for-7 in the red zone. He attempted the seventh most red zone passes in the league last week and didn't complete any of them. They're a league worst 25% on third downs to open the year. I mean, this offense is just going to regress. Trevor Lawrence had a 15-2 touchdown interception ratio over the second half last year. He is the guy. He will, you know, he's going to be the star. So I'm not worried about that. And Etienne, by the way, continues to get disrespected. He was playing 80% of the snaps through three quarters last week before exiting with the cramps. I hope it's just cramps. There's still a cue there. So don't, all bets are off if it's another injury. But if it was just cramps, he played 100% of the snaps in the red zone last week. Tank Bigsby didn't see a single touch. Now they're nearly 10-point home favorites against the Houston defense. That's the most favorable to opposing backs when schedule adjusted. So I say trade for Travis Etienne now before he blows up this week.
I like that. You're making me feel a lot better about the Jags offense. And that cramping stuff and the heat in Jacksonville is definitely worth noting. So that's
110 people were treated, and I think like 64 were taken to the hospital or something. I mean, it's not nothing.
No, it's definitely not nothing. You know what is nothing? Jackson Smith and Jigba's average depth of target so far this year.
Can we skip this one? Let's move on. Let's skip this one.
All right, sounds good. I'll read off the stat, but we won't discuss it. Number 15, because we do promise that we give a stat for all 32 teams. So I will give it, but we don't have to discuss it if it makes you upset. Number 15, Seattle Seahawks. Jackson Smith and Jigba has a 1.6 average depth of target so far this season. He's run 61% of the routes. All right, moving on to number 16 here, the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams lead the NFL with 156 plays run so far, Dalton. This Rams offense is like quietly a fantastic fantasy ecosystem, and they don't even have their best player yet.
I'll eat JSN, man. So far has not been great. The targets per route run.
I'm letting
been,
you skip it.
There.
I All was right.
No, it's horrible. Why are
you
throwing that
it?
Guy at the line of scrimmage like this? I don't understand. Like, it's really, I get the offensive line was an issue, but that he's a bench stash for now. There's upside. Things can change. DK Metcalf dealing with a rib injury. But don't start JSN with this type of usage. It's not great at all. The Rams are produced. Sean McVay's a genius. Lose Cooper Kupp. They have the number two fantasy back, Kyren Williams. Puka is you should have spent 101% of your waiver wire budget on him. He is him. And Tutu Atwell is so good. Van Jefferson dropped the ball at the end of last game, and you can drop him from all your fantasy teams. I know that he has been a disappointment. And same with Higbee. You like Van Jefferson. I like Higbee. We were both wrong on those. Go get Atwell. Go get Puka, who can still be a wide receiver three at minimum if Kupp can somehow return close to full strength, which I remain skeptical. But Puka is just the real deal. It benefited from playing a Niners team that just produces a lot of passes because they're so good defensively against the run. But man, just exciting if you got these guys off your waiver wire. Kyren Williams is a top 12 fantasy back moving forward, given his usage and with Akers gone. And I've seen a couple people, including a professional gambler, after looking at all the tape, call Matthew Stafford the league's MVP through the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, you look at that one touchdown or whatever, you wouldn't think that, but I can see it. I don't think that's crazy, man. The dude's out there absolutely slinging it.
Oh, he's shredding. And Puka, I think, again, is in a role that he is not just going to like get off the field as soon as Cooper Kupp comes back there. Like, those two guys can coexist together. I think Tutu Atwell will remain in like the pre-snap motion speed role. Yeah, Van Jefferson has been disappointing. He played all right in 2021. I don't want to make it seem like he ever looked like he was a superstar or anything, but I mean, Puka had a better college profile. He's just a star, dude. I think not a star, but he's a really good player. So he should continue to be a fantasy star until Cooper Kupp gets back.
In our bold prediction piece last week, I was too cowardly. I said Puka will be a top 20 fantasy wideout against the 49ers. And then the oblique showed up out of nowhere. I'm like, what's happening here? But I think he's really honest, like a top 12 fantasy receiver as long as Kupp is out. The usage is there. You said it. I think he had the second most yards per route run in college of the last five draft seasons. I know the production wasn't there. Maybe some injuries. But yeah. Man, there's a... You just love the role he's in that offense and with the way the McVay and Stafford combination. But Kyren Williams also, man, just wow. What a change from a guy available on most waiver wires to a top 12 fantasy back after the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think someone else will be mixing in with him a little more than like what we saw last week, since they like late scratched Cam Akers and are now trying to get rid of him. But Kyren is still, yeah, totally like a fantasy starter going forward, as is Puka. All right, number 17, New York Giants. We're skipping them for Thursday Night Football. Number 18, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dude, I got to admit, I was very out on this passing offense. You even tried to talk me back into Mike Evans. I should have listened to you, man. I should have listened to you on this one because, yo, the Bucs have been great, fantastic from a passing game perspective. I love what Dave Canales is doing there, you know, coming over from Seattle. And Mike Evans looks awesome, dude. He not that he's ever looked bad, but he just looks fantastic so far this year. So I am taking the L on being so mean to Baker Mayfield. Long season, but right now I got to take the L on this one.
Man, Evans, I loved him in the sixth round, third most air yards per game last season. And Brady threw a lot of passes, but it just wasn't like the target rate was high for Evans. But I did not expect Baker Mayfield to ball out like this. I did not expect them to have a positive pass rate over expectation, one of the few teams. So I did not quite, you know, I can't say I called that part of Evans's game, who was battling an injury too late in the preseason and contractual issues, but he's looked great. Baker Mayfield's balling this week. I like Chris Godwin to bounce back and score a touchdown or two. The Eagles are allowing the most passing touchdowns so far this year and the sixth most fantasy points to wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Receivers' opponents have attempted a whopping 49 passes per game against this Eagles secondary. So like Evans and Godwin this week.
Number 19, Green Bay Packers. Jaden Reed leads the team, being targeted on 38% of his routes. He's still just third on the team in routes run. He left with injuries a time in week one, and he's playing a little more slot than like outside receiver. But, dude, I think the time is really coming for Jaden Reed. And it's pretty impressive that this passing offense has been so efficient, despite the fact that they've missed their two best players in Christian Watson in both games and Aaron Jones last game.
And I think it was Jacob Gibbs who pointed this out, but the thing that's really extra impressive about Jaden Reed and those targets per route run is that he's playing almost all in three wide receiver sets. So he's competing against two other receivers during these routes too. So you don't want to chase the touchdowns, but at the same time, whoa, the usage looks real there. So the one thing I'd say, well, two things I'd say, Jordan Love's PFF grades versus his passer rating are a big discrepancy. He's been one of the more fortunate passers. Some regression is coming. And also, how is the target distribution going to be with a healthy Christian Watson?
Yeah, fair enough. But I think Reed is here to stay.
He looks great. Yeah, and I like Reed over Dobbs, in my opinion, no-brainer, easily.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Number 20, Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, we don't have to spend long on this. The Steelers rank 32nd in percentage of drives that have ended in a score. Two really tough defenses to start. I mean, I get that. 49ers, Cleveland Browns obviously look great, but it has been about as bad as a start as I could have possibly imagined for an offense that I talked way too much about this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm frustrated. I have a lot of Freiermuth, Deontay Johnson, a little George Pickens. Do we give Matt Canada credit for him changing George Pickens's usage Monday night? Totally different. I was worried they were going to do the same routes, and I'm like, the targets aren't going to change and it's going to be Calvin Austin and Allen Robinson, but they really did change Pickens. It's used in the slot more. Things were the slants. 27% of his routes were slants. So do we just give Canada a little credit, I guess, one time?
we absolutely do have to give Matt Canada for doing the most basic possible, like, no-brainer thing with the current number one receiver on the team. We have to give Matt credit. We have to give Matt Canada credit for the absolute bare minimum of
when expectations are bar set low. Then yeah, I hear you. Okay, fine, fair. Yeah, it's been ugly. And Jalen Warren over Najee Harris moving forward, right? I'm being serious. Like, I would rather Jalen Warren than
Here's the thing.
They split the work last week, and he just looked a million times better. Najee Harris has had his second 20-plus yard run since last year, and the first ever was to kill the clock. I mean, that was wild. I mean, it was like it took, I think, 3.5 minutes for him to complete that 21-yard run. So, I mean, if anyone who watched that game, you want Jalen Warren more than Najee Harris moving forward.
Well, here's the deal. I don't want either one of them, like, on my fantasy team. But yeah, I think obviously Jalen Warren is more explosive. And, you know, this game in Las Vegas against the Raiders is going to be a big truth teller for this offense. Like, if they can't get it going, if Kenny Pickett can't look more accurate, like, better under duress than he has so far, if he can't do it against the Raiders, then I'm really like, then I'm super raising the alarm bells on that one. All right. Number 21, New York Jets. Expected fantasy points per game for the running backs in this backfield, according to fantasy points data. Dalvin Cook, 7.1. Breece Hall, 6.2. Michael Carter, 3.3. This backfield's a mess on an offense that we hate right now.
Yeah, that was crazy. I was worried Breece Hall missing practice. You know, was it just maintenance or was his workload because of an injury? But then he tweeted, you know, the 4 football emojis. So obviously he feels like he should have got more touches. But yeah, this is bad. I mean, you're not using Dalvin Cook in any capacity in fantasy. And Breece Hall, it just comes down to your roster construction. And Garrett Wilson coming off a couple touchdowns, maybe trade, offer him in some trades. Can you get Nico Collins for Garrett Wilson? I would consider. I've come to the conclusion I do not think Zach Wilson's going to be starting, I don't know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks from now. I think the Jets are going to have to move on at quarterback.
I can't believe that I'm like begging for Carson Wentz, but I'm begging for them to sign Carson Wentz at this point. Number 22, Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, 6.4% deep throw rate, ranks 27th among quarterbacks and is sandwiched between Kenny Pickett and Jimmy G. Not two guys that you want to be sandwiched between if you're Josh Allen. He's also just has 2.5 designed runs per game so far this season. I just think this is interesting because, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I just think Josh Allen has... Like, I think especially against the Raiders, was much calmer, is like kind of taking what the defense gives him. And I just think this offense in Buffalo this year is going to look a little bit different than in years past.
Yeah, I had Bills in Survivor, and that was not a great start. An immediate touchdown drive Raiders and a 3-and-out on offense for Buffalo, but Josh Allen balled out afterward. One of the best players on the field last week. I'm not worried about the ADOT. One of the two games he's played this year is against the Jets. Awesome defense on the road. So Allen was awesome last week. He attempted a hurdle over someone standing over 6 feet tall with a helmet. It was great. Love Josh Allen, and he's back in business.
You know who's in business right now? Number 23, Washington Commanders, Sam Howell, has thrown just 2.9% of his passes 20-plus yards down the field. That's the lowest among starters. You know, I'm not saying this is a bad thing either. Like, Howell has looked pretty good kind of running the offense, at least in week two. Week one was a little herky-jerky, but you got to remember they're breaking in a lot of new pieces here. New starting quarterback who doesn't have a ton of experience. New offensive coordinators, first time calling plays, like full-time, you know, not splitting it with Andy Reid. So I'm really encouraged by what I've seen out of Sam Howell so far.
Was that throw to Terry McLaurin more than 20 yards? It looked like it. That was one of the plays of the week last week.
I think that's one of the ones. It's worth noting he's completed 100% of those passes, but it's only 2.9%.
I mean, that was sick. Both McScary Terry and Howell, one of the plays of the week last week when they made that comeback. He's been encouraging. Howell has his moments, holding onto the ball far too long still. No question about that. And where's our guy, Jahan Dotson? Definitely been one of the bigger fantasy disappointments so far. Brian Robinson, conversely, is the guy. Yeah. I'm so frustrated I don't have more of him that I spoke favorably of him, but just, I should have him on more fantasy teams. He's the real deal. Be pumped if you have him on fantasy teams. Don't look to be selling high there. Love B-Rob.
Totally co-sign that. And I think it'll, like, big weeks are coming for McLaurin and Dotson when they start kind of concentrating the targets a little more. So I'm not worried really about either of those two. Number 24, Philadelphia Eagles. DeAndre Swift plays on Thursday, played 76% of the snaps, ran around on 45% of the dropbacks, and had 58% of the team carries. Obviously, though, Dalton, no Kenny Gainwell. Boston Scott missed this one, he got injured in the middle of the game. Where are we at with DeAndre Swift going forward?
Rashad Penny made his presence felt. I mean, he had a he's on there in there for two snaps. He led a nice run, like a 6 yard run, and then he cost him a touchdown on a holding on the other.
Definitely made his presence felt.
There are two blitzers coming up the middle, but yes, he played two snaps and cost his team a 50 yard touchdown in one of them. But yeah,
I didn't tell you this, but one of my friends, he had a crazy 7-leg parlay, and if Jalen Hurts had just gotten that second passing touchdown, he would have won $21,000. And so he basically hates Rashad Penny now.
Yeah, Rashad, there's nothing. Yeah, you can't go lower than Penny. Oh, it has not been great for him. And I don't think he earned more trust playing time with that performance. DeAndre Swift, meanwhile, another guy frustrating available in rounds 8, like Brian Robinson, that has now looked like just a monster. How good did he look, too?
Great.
Passing the eye test, just awesome there. And, I hope the Eagles don't mess around and give Gainwell some of those touches if he's healthy. I mean, let's let Swift go. I know he's good luck staying healthy with Swift, but man, I hope he becomes the leader of that backfield.
Such a great situation, and you know, Swift took advantage of it. That'll probably be his best game all year is my bet, but I don't know. I'm interested to see how they divvy up the workload when Gainwell's back and Boston Scott's back and the whole thing. Number 25, Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are coming off the lowest offensive success rate in 96 games with Patrick Mahomes. And meanwhile, Isaiah Pacheco, who did pop up on the injury report today, we'll see if that means anything.
But no.
He has run more routes than Jerick McKinnon in each of the first two games. Dalton, they get the Bears this week. The Bears are terrible on defense along with everything else. By the way, the Bears just put their starting left tackle Braxton Jones on injured reserve. So great. Things are getting even better for Justin Fields.
Of course, Pacheco. So I used him as one of my conviction picks this week. He was given 86% of Casey's running back carries last week. Only one to have a handful of backs to play 100% of his team's red zone snaps. As you said, I mean, he's out running routes than Jerick McKinnon, who's just totally disappeared. Bears allowing the third most fantasy points to running backs this season. They've allowed 25 plus points in 12 straight games. I think it's an NFL record if they allow it again this week in Kansas City, which odds favor that. So loved Pacheco's setup here. I mean, CEH is dust. But he needs to be healthy.
I think he's a nice little buy low. Like if the work continues to concentrate to him, I think that he could actually be a really big important piece for them as the season wears on. Number 26 is the Titans. We already talked about their stat. Number 27, the New Orleans Saints. Derek Carr leads all quarterbacks with a 20.3% deep throw rate. I would say Carr has not been perfect so far through two games, but he has been letting it fly a little bit, which has been good news for Chris Olave and really good news for Rashid Shaheed, who I think has some staying power here.
And just note that Derek Carr does play different outdoors when you're deciding in your weekly matchups or DFS. But Michael Thomas looks relatively healthy. Rashid Shaheed looks like, all those underlying stats do suggest he could be fantasy helpful. And Chris Olave, man, what a baller. See that catch? I mean, Monday night? I mean, just so, so sick.
Yeah, that was, I mean, he's awesome. He's like a top 10 real life NFL receiver, I think. I'm ready to say it already at this point.
Messed up backfield there. I'm stashing Kendre Miller when you can. I mean, Jamal Williams is going to be out a while. Tony Jones could be very worthwhile for the short term. And obviously Kamara will be returning and maybe with clearer path to touches. But
yeah.
I'm still stashing Kendre Miller in deeper leagues.
Colin's asking if he can play Kendre Miller this weekend. Maybe.
Yeah, is he healthy? I mean, this the health is the problem with him, the hamstring. So yeah, if he's expect him to be a full go in practice this week. So yeah, maybe those Tony Jones isn't going to be helpful this week. So we have to see how that shakes out. But boy, Kendre Miller jumped out on some plays in the preseason. Mm-hmm. He looks like he has some nice potential.
If Miller doesn't take advantage of the opportunity this weekend, like you really couldn't have asked for a better run out for Alvin Kamara if you drafted him, by the way. Number 28, Atlanta Falcons. Love all these NFC South teams so deep into the draft order here. Desmond Ridder ranks 14th in catchable pass rate among all quarterbacks, according to Fantasy Points data. Hey, all I ask out of Desmond Ridder is be functional. I feel really encouraged about what I saw. It's not going to help Kyle Pitts, bros. I'm sorry, but it's just not going to happen for you. Most likely, but I think it can still happen for Drake London and keep this offense afloat based on how Desmond Ridder played in week 2.
yeah, we're happy with his performance. Ritter's, it's certainly been competent. And oh man, Bijan Robinson looks so like the real deal. That one tackle breaking play he had where he broke three or four tackles was so awesome. He's locked in as a top three fantasy back, even with Algier getting 10 to 15 touches per game. But yeah, Ritter's been competent. And to Kyle Pitts, man, I don't know what to say. I have him in a few places. It's absolutely brutal. It's rough.
Yeah, Bijan is so good. He's going to be frustrating sometimes because he's going to lose work to Tyler Algier and stuff like that. Like, that's not going away, but he is such an awesome player. And you see why they drafted him eighth overall. Like, he's just incredible. He's an incredible player. Number 29, Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson ranks first in RPO dropback rate with 11.3%. He also ranks first in catchable pass rate and sixth in accuracy rate. I think things are looking really good for the Baltimore offense, like after week two, and I think it's only going to go up from here.
Yeah, I know J.K. Dobbins stealing all the touchdowns from Lamar. Is he going to run, do you think, like in the past? He did have a long run last week that was called back by penalty, but Zay Flowers looks awesome. What a connection downfield. Our guy Bateman hopefully, you know, can get healthier. I mean, Aguilar, yeah, where'd that come from? But yeah, you got to be excited about the Ravens both on both sides of the ball, dominating on defense. And now can they stay healthy? You know, Ronnie Stanley and Lamar, what'd he pop up with questionable with a hand injury? So we need them to stay healthy. Otherwise, it's going to be another nice setup at home against a reeling Houston defense.
He's popping up with a hand injury because he's, you know, throwing so much heat right now, bro. I mean, that's why. Yeah, I don't think he's going to run as much as previous. I mean, he's going to be a great scrambler and stuff like that. But he honestly wants to sit back in the pocket and like play real quarterback. He's always been more like of a designed runner than a scrambler. Like, he's been more devastating on scrambles, and I think he is still a really devastating scrambler, but previously it's been a lot of the designed rushes that have made him like so productive, quote unquote, as a runner. So I do think that's not necessarily going to change going forward. Number 30, San Francisco 49ers. We're skipping for Thursday Night Football. Number 31, Miami Dolphins. Things are great for the Dolphins. They're probably the best team in the AFC right now, but Jaylen Waddle hasn't quite had the start to the season many were hoping. He ranks 59th among wide receivers in expected fantasy points, according to Fantasy Points data, and 43rd in targets per route run among wide receivers who have 10-plus targets this season. Any reason to be concerned about Jaylen Waddle and the usage so far this year, or is this just like two games worth of noise?
Not concerned about his usage, more concerned about the concussion and protocol and can he recover in time for this week. But yeah, obviously hasn't been great, but Tyreek Hill is awesome. And if you looked in deep into the stats last year, it wasn't like close. Tyreek Hill is the target dominator there. It's just that there's no one else too. I mean, Smythe's out there leading the league in routes run. So I think it's Waddle's going to be fine if healthy. I mean, what about his quarterback, by the way, is the current favorite for the NFL MVP. I mean, how about that? Tua is the favorite right now. I mean, that's just, well, I have him. I have a ticket for him to lead the league in passing yards. I think it was 12-1. So let's go, Tua. Stay healthy. Let's go.
Yeah, let's just stay healthy, man, because this offense is so fun to watch. Number 32, Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys still have a 3% dropback rate over expected despite smashing the first two games. This is according to Fantasy Life. I thought this is interesting because I think everybody owes Mike McCarthy a big apology. But things have gone really well for the Dallas offense so far. I will at least say, like, I always raised the point that like people were so quick to give all the good stuff was Kellen Moore, all the bad stuff in Dallas was Mike McCarthy, which I never really bought into. I think they're actually both pretty good offensive play callers. Honestly, I think Kellen sometimes still gets a little too cute and a little too like just run the stuff that works, man. So anyways, my point in all of this is just to say I think this Cowboys offense, we haven't even really seen them in a normal game yet, but I'm very excited for what we're going to get when we do get to a normal game.
Yeah, can we talk a little Tony Pollard, who leads all running backs in expected fantasy points? I mean, he's getting just 71 rushing yards per game, 3.6 yards per carry. But it's a product of facing the Jets and nursing these big leads and obvious run situations. Rico Dowdle stole two goal line carries last week. Pollard also had a 6-yard TD run nullified by a penalty, but he's getting that goal line work. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott had the second most carries inside the five last season. Mine only Jamal Williams. He's obviously gone. I think Pollard should be considered the favorite to lead the NFL in touchdowns this season, barring health. I mean, I ranked him as my number two fantasy back entering the year, hoping he could approach 300 touches. He's on pace for 425, the second most over the last 15 years, behind only DeMarco Murray, I believe. So, I mean, now this week they're facing, you know, big time favorites against the Cardinals. So you just love the usage Tony Pollard's seen. And even if the fantasy production's been, had made him only like the fifth fantasy back, I'd treat him more like, you know, one or two, him and McCaffrey moving forward.
Yeah, like I said, we haven't seen him in a normal game. Not going to see him in a normal game this weekend, most likely. Although I do think the Cardinals have been a little bit better than expected. But week number four, New England. Week five in San Francisco. That will be a big game for the Cowboys and the Niners.
Sunday nighter. Yeah, yep. Sunday nighter. I'll be at that one too.
Perfect. All right. Well, speaking of games that feature the Niners that Dalton will be at, let's talk Thursday Night Football here. New York Giants at San Francisco 49ers, 44.5 over under, and your Niners, Dalton, are 10-point favorites. Obviously, the big thing for this, let's start with the Giants side of it before we talk for the Niners for 25 minutes here. Obviously, a big thing to note in this game, Saquon Barkley was ruled out on Wednesday. He's not going to play in this game. That's not surprising considering he's got an ankle injury that he might miss multiple weeks. Honestly, Dalton, like, I'm not really jazzed up about any of these backup running backs. None of these guys is like a Jerome Ford where you pick him up off the waiver wire and you think he's like an immediate start. Like Matt Breida, we've seen before, but he's kind of a bit of a change of pace back. It's been a long time since we've seen him get like a full workload. The other backups, not really too interested there. And honestly, I kind of feel like the backup running back for the New York Giants might just be Daniel Jones. And like, I think it's because if you look right now, Daniel Jones has been, in terms of rushing quarterbacks, he's been right up there. His 25% designed rushing rate leads all quarterbacks. And his 13% scramble rate is second among all quarterbacks. So if anybody's going to be picking up the rushing workload, it might just be more Daniel Jones.
Yeah, Jones had a touchdown run called back last week, too, and still finished as the number one fantasy QB. He's a really good runner, one of the league's best running quarterbacks. You're right, it's not an ideal matchup, although it is a matchup that dictates a lot of passing because teams can't run the ball on the Niners. Matt Breida, revenge game against the Niners
revenge
is probably
game,
the guy you're using in a flex if you need to, but expect some Brightwell and Eric Gray and a committee and a bad matchup. So I try to avoid that. Same with the wide receivers for the Giants. They just rotate too many guys there. And I see Jalen Hyatt make a play downfield last week. Daniel Jones can throw the deep ball as well. Darren Waller is a guy I would target in DFS in this game. The Giants going to be having to pass a lot. And he looked healthy enough last week, and I think he's going to be looking at a lot of targets Thursday night.
100%. On the San Francisco side, a couple stats for them. One, Christian McCaffrey has played 91.7% of the team's snaps so far this year. You mentioned the Shanahan. I'll believe it when I see it, that he's like, we messed up having Elijah Mitchell not out there. I think Mitchell's going to get more work going forward, but look, CMC, like, I think if we redrafted today, he would definitely be taking over Jamar Chase, which he probably should have been anyways, but he might even go number one overall over Justin Jefferson at this point. That role is so fantasy viable. But the real stat I wanted to mention here, Brock Purdy has ranked third in pressure dropback rate behind only Zach Wilson and Daniel Jones, who don't even really count because they've played the Cowboys. But meanwhile, he has a 0% check down rate. And I know he missed some deep throws to Ayuk, who's on the injury report. Going into this game, we'll see if he plays. They've called him a true game time decision, did John Lynch today. But I still think Purdy has played really well, all things considered. And noting that he's been under so much pressure and I think still played well is really impressive for him.
Yeah, he had to face the most pressure in week one. Definitely missed some throws last week, particularly three that would have combined for 120 yards and two touchdowns. But it happens. There were some flashbacks of the Jimmy G overthrowing Emmanuel Sanders. But Purdy,
scar tissue there.
if that's his worst game, though, as a pro, then it's going to be okay. They continue to score 30 points like clockwork with him. I expect George Kittle to get involved. He's been relatively quiet. And Brandon Ayuk, if he does suit up, will probably be compromised, unfortunately. Man, McCaffrey, can he hold up with this workload, though? It's a lot of touches and now a short week, too. So I do expect Elijah Mitchell to get some work Thursday night. But yeah, they're, you know, double digit favorites at home. The game script could call for Mitchell to help, too, there as well. So Brock Purdy is going to bounce back with a nice effort. But the question is, are you starting? Who are you ranking higher? Brock Purdy at home, you know, the team favored by 10, or Daniel Jones, tougher matchup, but you know, having to throw more and he brings the rushing equity.
Purdy, for sure. I think this Giants defense has been disappointing through 2 weeks. They're so aggressive. They're so man coverage heavy. I do think having Ayuk would be really good in this matchup. Like, obviously, that's a pretty big downgrade. But nobody's run more routes, higher routes per dropback rate than Deebo Samuel so far this year. They still have George Kittle. They just have thrown so much else that they can throw at you. I rank Purdy higher than Jones this week.
It's funny. I'm just looking at ECR. They actually are ranked back to back by the consensus ranks. Only those sheep have Daniel Jones one spot ahead, and you and me have BCB number one ahead of him. So let's go.
Oh yeah, man. I'd rather have my quarterback playing, especially like if we're talking to slightly volatile guys, and especially on the Daniel Jones side of it, like two volatile guys. I'd rather have the guy playing in positive game script than the guy who's likely going to be playing in negative game script. Like, by the way, like, talk about difference in supporting cast. Yeah, I think it's clearly Brock Purdy. I mean, the rushing stuff is great for Daniel Jones, but there could be some rough moments there too.
Let's talk about our guy Ayuk, man. I hope he is healthy because he's looked so good out there, and he's just toasting DBs. But that AC sprain, it could linger for a couple weeks. He played through pain last week for sure. If you watched him, he kept having to fall on his shoulder too after this contact too. So let's hope we can get him right. And if that takes sitting out this week and then coming back 10 days later, then be it. You know, they don't. You know, so that's let's hope we get BA right, because he was emerging as we had hoped.
Yeah, that's a pain. They called it a pain tolerance thing, and generally that's how it would go if he was to play through it. But I agree with you. If I'm them, I'm like, just, you can beat the Giants at home without Brandon Ayuk. I think the Giants will have their moments this year, but like, you should, again, if you're San Francisco, you should be able to say, like, we have enough around Brock Purdy that we don't need to force Brandon Ayuk. Although if Ayuk was playing and he was close to 100%, this would be the exact type of matchup against an aggressive defense like this.
Oh, that's, you're right. The man zone, huh? I forgot the Giants are man heavy there. Yeah, that's true. That's a tough setup for the Giants coming off that awesome second half comeback and then traveling across the country to play on a short week. And yes, producer Colin, Niner fans are definitely looking ahead to that Cowboys matchup in prime time. I mean, that could be a deciding home field. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Right now, the Giants are definitely not playing as much man coverage as you think, but they're still pretty much up there. So, yeah, okay. I think it would be a great matchup for Ayuk. But I have Ayuk on plenty of fantasy teams. I'm almost just kind of hoping like he doesn't play in this one. And I'll figure something out else out at receiver. And he gets 10 days off to come back. Like, I think.
And Andrew Thomas missed last week, left tackle. Is his health? You know, that's obviously a big deal against the Niners. Front seven that's looking pretty dominant with Hargrave added there.
All right. Anything else on this game? You'll be there, so we'll get your advanced scouting report.
Yeah, exactly. I told you last time. Well, we don't see Ayuk toasting DBs. Let's see if he can get hit downfield. But yeah, I'll just see his health. But no, it sucks if I don't get to see Barkley, man. I'd love to see Barkley, a healthy Barkley, one of the best players in the league. Just rooting for that.
All right, well, that is going to do it for us. Dalton, shout out to you. Great episode, as always. 32 stats on all 32 teams. We love to see it. Tomorrow, we set the stage for week 3 with the games you need to binge, stream, skip. Our very own Dan Titus joins us for that. Until then, we're out.